This is our last lesson in this six-week series, Unvarnished Truth, Life's Greatest Story. And I've mentioned the last 5 weeks, mentioned it again this morning as we finish up. Everybody knows what varnish is. It's a finishing that's added to wood to make it look better. And truth doesn't need any varnish. Truth doesn't need anything to make it look better. It looks good on its own. And this series of lessons have addressed the basic truths of life. And so they've tried to answer the questions. How did we get here? Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing while we are here? And so we've had lessons, like the first lesson was one great creator. We were made by God. Second lesson, one great purpose. The reason we were made by God is to bring glory to Him. The third lesson, one great problem. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin stops us from fulfilling the purpose that we were made for, to bring glory to Him. Fourth lesson, one great Savior. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He's able, because He paid the price, if we'll accept Him, to reconcile us to God, to make us one with God again. And so restore to us our purpose for being, to bring glory to Him. Last week we talked about one great commitment. Even though Christ died for the sin of every sinner, it's up to the sinner to make that decision to receive Christ. We have to trust Him. And then this morning, our lesson is one great task. And so if we have partook of the gospel, if we have trusted Christ, if we know what it is to have our sins forgiven, then our responsibility is to share that good news with other people. And so our lesson this morning has 3 points. Most of these lessons were written by preachers. That's why they have 3 points. But the 3 points are, share the message of Christ with others. Point number two, don't get discouraged as you do that. Because as you share the message of Christ with others, Satan's not going to like it. He's going to throw obstacles in the way. He's going to throw difficulties in the way. I mean, if you're a Christian and you're not trying to witness to anybody, if you're not trying to live the Christian life, Satan's going to leave you alone. But if you're trying to live the Christian life, if you're witnessing, he's going to come after you because he does not want the gospel spread. And then the last point is stay focused on the message of Christ. Now, every single person wants to have purpose in their life. And again, we know because of sin, we cannot fulfill the purpose that we were made for, to bring glory to God. So when we found our purpose, when we trusted Christ, we found the answer. Okay? It's our responsibility to share that answer with other people. Because they're looking for the same thing that we look for before we got saved. They're looking, I believe that God has put in each of us the need to have that relationship with Him. I believe that without that relationship with Him, we are incomplete. And we can't fulfill the reason for which He made us. And even though we may enjoy the things of the world for a time, they'll never bring the lasting satisfaction and peace that comes from being right with God and living the life and fulfilling the purpose for which He made us to be. Okay? So other people are looking for the same thing. They're going to try to find it in things of the world. They're not going to find it in the things of the world. Just like we discovered. We're not going to find it in the things of the world. We're going to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be faithful in sharing that with other people. Adam mentioned we're in 2 Timothy this morning, one of 3 pastoral epistles, or 3 letters that Paul wrote to young pastors, to Timothy and Titus. So you have 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. He wrote these letters to these young pastors to encourage them and to instruct them. 2 Timothy was probably, most people think it was the last epistle or letter that Paul wrote. He wrote it from prison in Rome, where he was going to be executed because of his service for Christ. Timothy, you remember, was a young man that had a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. Paul picked him up on his one of his missionary journeys, had him circumcised, not because he needed to be circumcised to be saved, but just so that he could serve with Paul and not cause the Jews any distress. And Paul mentored him. I mean, as he traveled with the Apostle Paul, Paul taught him. I'm sure they had many, I can only imagine, but I'm sure they had many long conversations together about the things of God. I'm sure Paul shared with Timothy in intimate detail his testimony, his life before he got saved, his conversion experience. And so they had a close personal relationship. In fact, the whole tone of the letter of 2 Timothy is like a father writing to a son. And Paul actually refers to Timothy as his son, not his son physically. I mean, Paul wasn't his physical father, but he was sort of his father in the spirit. Now again, Timothy was probably saved and began his growth as a Christian because of the influence of his grandmother and his mother. Paul mentions them in the book of 2 Timothy. But Paul took him and gave him an opportunity to serve with him, taught him, mentored him, however you want to say it. And so as Paul is writing this last letter to his son in the gospel, again, one who he had a close personal relationship with, he had a sense of urgency. This letter came from one who had stood faithfully for Christ, the Apostle Paul, and who was about to hand over that ministry to young men like Timothy and to Titus. He was going to die. Paul was going to die. He was going to be executed pretty soon. And so he was packing into this letter the things that he wanted Timothy to know, the things that he thought Timothy would need to carry on the ministry that Paul had started. Now, and so just like Timothy needed to hear, to read and heed what Paul wrote, so do we. I don't think I need any spend any time to convince you. I think our time on earth is growing short. I'm not setting any dates because I don't know. Nobody knows. But I know this. The time till the Lord comes is shorter now than it's ever been. Okay? It's shorter now than it's ever been. I believe Jesus is getting ready to come back. We need to pay attention to what Paul tells Timothy. We need to share the gospel with other people. We need to not get discouraged in doing it. Bill, let me see a video about persecuted Christians and their testimonies around the world. And I think that sooner or later, I agree with him, I think there's going to be a time of revival before that comes, but I think that persecution is coming to us. And to stand for Christ is going to cost. And so we need to read what Paul tells Timothy. We need to pay attention to it because it's just as important for us today, if not more important, than it was for Timothy in his day. All right, so we start in 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. Again, this part of the lesson is basically share the message of Christ with others. And so we start in the first two verses where the Bible says, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, let me just remind you, and I'm sure most of you have read, if not all of you have read, the book of 2 Timothy. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy of some things. He reminds him of his spiritual heritage. He mentions his mother and his grandmother, who Paul said, you know, I saw the faith in your grandmother. I saw the faith pass from her to your mom. I saw the faith in her pass to you. And so, Timothy, you have a spiritual heritage. God has endowed you with grace. He's given you. I've seen it in your life. And Paul sort of confirmed the call that Timothy had on his life to serve God. Paul says, I've spent time instructing you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. And I've pointed out to you down through the years the faithful service of other Christians that you can use as an example. Also in that first chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul challenges Timothy with some things. He says, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Keep it stirred up. Keep it moving in your life. Don't let it get stagnant. And one of the reasons that in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together is so that we each for each other, that we all for each other can keep that gift that is in us stirred up, keep us excited about the things of God. He says, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Paul wrote, said in the book of Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And so he was telling his son in the gospel, you don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, you're going to partake in affliction. Just like it's come to me, it's going to come to you. But you hold fast. You hold fast to the sound words. You hold fast to the good things that God has committed unto you. And so he reminds him, he reminds him of all those things in chapter 1. He challenges him with those things in chapter 1. And then he comes to chapter 2. And he says, thou. What he's saying is, hey, Timothy, what I'm about to write is for you. It's for you. Now, again, I'm sure Paul probably knew that you know, other people, well, I don't know if he knew or not. I don't know if he knew if other people would be reading this or not. But the Holy Spirit knew. And so even though Paul was directing it toward this one individual, the Holy Spirit knew that it would give other people that would read this epistle as it was included in the Bible, would give us encouragement and instruction too. Thou therefore, in other words, everything I've reminded you of, in chapter 1, because you have that godly heritage, because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because you have the good words and the good things that God has committed unto you, he says, thou therefore, my son, again, talking about that connection that the two of these had, be strong. Be strong. In other words, strengthen yourself. Or be strengthened. And he tells Timothy how to get that strength. In, uses the word in, by means of, or in the sphere of, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We've talked about grace before. It's God's graciousness to us. It's unmerited favor. It's getting something that we don't deserve. Everything we get from God, we don't deserve. I mean, again, I always distinguish between mercy and grace this way. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. And again, everything we get from God, we don't deserve. Everything we get from God is a result of his pleasure, his favor, his loving kindness, his graciousness. And so Paul says, he's challenging Timothy, he says, in order to do what you need to do, in order for you to carry on the ministry that you've seen me carry on, you're going to need strength. And it's not strength that comes from yourself. It's not strength that comes from within yourself as a person. It's strength that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's strength that comes from his grace. So take hold of it. Claim it. You will be strengthened by that grace, and it will show up in how you live your life and how you share the gospel with other people. And so he says in verse 2, in that strength, take the things that you've heard from me. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me, he says, I've taught you those things. You've heard them. Take those things and commit the same. In other words, entrust those things to other people. Give those things to other people, and not to just anybody, but to faithful men, men that are reliable, men that are trustworthy, who will be able, in other words, who will be qualified to teach others also. Now, in that verse, Paul uses the phrase, among many witnesses. The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses. Paul was reminding Timothy, my testimony has been consistent, it's been open, it's been public. Okay? You need to have the same kind of ministry. And Paul was making this point. And think about this. Teaching is more than just disseminating information. The purpose of teaching is learning. Okay? And you have to step back and say, now, if no learning has occurred, then probably no teaching has occurred. And it's not always the fault of the teacher. I'm sure Ruth Ann can testify to this. I mean, she can, when she was teaching, she tried to teach. She disseminated information, but for the purpose of learning. It was up to the student to take that information. A teacher can't make you learn. A teacher can only teach. But again, the purpose of teaching is learning. And so what Paul, the challenge that Paul was making to Timothy was, now listen, you've learned. I've seen it in your life. I've seen it. Now, again, when Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, he was already a young pastor at the church at Ephesus. He says, I've seen it in your life. You have not only heard what I've said, you have learned what I've said. Now, take what you have learned and teach it to other people so that, to faithful men, so that they can learn also. They need to learn also so that they can take what they've learned and teach it to others so that they can learn. And and that's the cycle that God intended, that we teach, others learn, then they teach so that others learn, so that they teach so that others learn. And again, the teaching ministry in the early church was very important. It was very critical. Even in the church at Ephesus, where Timothy was, there were false teachers. They were coming in and teaching false doctrines. And so Paul says, the way to combat false teaching is to teach the truth. And so he says, Timothy, you take the truth that you have learned from me, and you teach it to other faithful people so that they can teach it to other faithful people so that they can teach it to other people. That's the best way to combat or fight false teaching. It's still the best way today. The best way today to combat the false doctrines that are being taught, not only in the world but in many, many churches, is to stand for the truth and teach the truth. This is truth. This word is truth. That's what needs to be taught. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. And again, Paul was making the point, and this is something that we need to listen to. The greatest legacy of any ministry is as we multiply ourselves. As we get young people trained to teach the truth, as we get young people trained to preach the gospel, as we get young people to have the faith that we have, who will one day take positions of leadership and do the same thing, share their faith, share the gospel, share the truth. And again, maybe not all Christians are qualified to teach in a formal sense, but all Christians ought to be able to testify who Jesus is. All Christians ought to be able to testify what he did for them. And all Christians ought to be able to testify about the difference that he's made in their life and be able to pass that on to other people. Now, I know there's some people that say, well, I'm just not made up that way. I mean, they say, well, I don't know the verses in the Bible to share with people, to lead them to the Lord. And I always ask people that say that to me, I said, well, how did you get saved? What did you believe? And they tell me, well, I believed that I was a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for my sin, and I believe that if I trusted him, he would forgive me of my sin and make me right with God, dress me in the righteousness of Christ, and one day I'll go to heaven. I said, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. I mean, if you're saved, you know how you got saved. That's what you need to share with other people. And the most effective testimony you can have is to do it from your perspective in your own words. I mean, I believe that God has people picked out for us as individuals to reach. I believe that he has suited our testimony for them, that they'll be receptive to hearing our testimony, and that it'll be our testimony that will lead them to the Lord. And again, God never asks us, God never, ever asks us to do anything that he hasn't equipped us to do, that he's given us the ability to do. And if he's laid somebody on your heart that needs to receive the Lord, don't worry about your ability. Just make yourself available to God and go share what happened to you. The results are up to God. I mean, we just plant the seed. We just sow the seed. What happens with that seed in the life of that individual is up to God. And so, but we need to do our part. And again, this is God's plan. For one person to learn it, to teach it to somebody else that can learn it, so that they can teach it to somebody else that learns it, so that they can teach it to somebody else to learn it. That has been God's plan from the very beginning. You know, I've often thought that God could have picked a lot of different ways to spread the gospel, a lot of dramatic ways. I mean, he could have had angels do it. He could have had, you know, he could have written it in the sky. I mean, he could have picked a lot of different ways, but he picked to use us. He picked to use people that have received Christ, that have learned, so that they can teach others. All right, so we need to share the message of Christ with others. Now, let's look at verses 3 through 7 from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this part of the lesson is Paul's trying to encourage Timothy, don't get discouraged. Not everybody's going to listen to you. Not everybody's going to receive what you have to, what you offer. And they're going to persecute you. They're going to come after you. They may throw you in prison like they have me, but don't get discouraged. So he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So, Paul says, now Timothy, I want you to be strong. I want you to be strengthened with the strength that comes from the grace of Jesus Christ. You're going to need that strength because as a follower of Christ, you're going to face challenges and you're going to face difficulties. He said, God's called you. He's called you. But Timothy, you need to decide, and you've already decided, he was already pastoring, you need to decide what you're going to do with that call, and you need to decide how far you're going to go in responding to that call. In other words, what's going to take to make you quit? What's going to quit to get you discouraged so that you'll quit? Paul uses three pictures, three images, to describe the commitment that Timothy needed to make in his service to Christ. He uses a picture of a soldier, he uses a picture of an athlete, he uses a picture of a farmer. So he says in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in other places, other letters that he wrote, that we are in a spiritual warfare. We're not fighting the things of the world. We're fighting spiritual enemies. We're fighting spiritual darkness. And an image of a soldier, or a picture of a soldier, was very familiar back in that day because, again, the Jews were under Roman rule. There were soldiers in every city. I mean, you would see a Roman soldier probably every day of your life if you lived back in this day. And so Paul says, as a good soldier, endure hardness. In other words, endure the affliction, endure the trouble, endure the suffering that's going to come. And again, Timothy, you're not alone in this struggle. There's going to be others in the struggle with you that are facing the same battles, but as a leader, you need to be an example for others. And Paul says this, don't just be a soldier, be a good soldier. Now, Paul's going to define in the next verse what a good soldier is. He says, Timothy, a good soldier of Jesus Christ knows how to endure hardness. He knows how to endure the affliction, the persecution, the trouble that's going to come. He says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word warreth means that a soldier has not just put on the uniform, but the soldier's at war. He's in a military campaign. He's on active duty. He is serving as a soldier. And so no man that's actively serving as a soldier, that's involved in a campaign, that's involved in a war, entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. In the context of being a soldier, it would be things that would apply to civilian life or things that go on in the life of somebody that's not a soldier. A soldier needs to focus on being a soldier. A soldier needs not to be distracted by other things. And so, Timothy, you need to be committed to your assignment as a soldier of Jesus Christ, to focus on that, not to be involved in anything else that would distract you from what God has called you to do. Now, again, I don't think Paul is saying, hey, you know, as Christians, we need to divorce ourselves completely from this world. We have to live in this world. I think we should be involved in the things of this world. But we ought not to lose our focus as to what our prime responsibility is. And we ought not to let the things of the world detract from that focus. And here's Paul's definition of a good soldier. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now again, in the military context, it could be the commanding officer. It could be the recruiter. It could be the one that signed him up to be in the army. But in Timothy's case, he was chosen to be a soldier by God. He was chosen to be a soldier by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, you not only be a soldier, but you be a good soldier. You endure hardness. Don't let the things of the world take your focus off what you're supposed to be doing, because you want to please the one that called you. You want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus himself is our example on this. How many times did he say in the Gospels, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. What he was saying is, I'm not giving myself orders. I got orders before I came. And my responsibility is not to think of what to do of my on my own. It's to follow the orders of the one that sent me. Jesus did that. How many times did we hear a voice from heaven as we read the gospel? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why was God pleased with Jesus? Because he was a good soldier. He followed orders. That's how we please the one that has called us into this battle. We don't need to get new orders. We got all the orders that we need in this book right here. Amen? I mean, they're here. We just need to be obedient. We just need to keep following the orders that we've already been given. That's how we become a good soldier. We strive to please the one that called us, and the way we please the one that called us is just to be obedient to what he's commanded us to do. Now, in verse 5, the picture changes. Paul moves from talking about a soldier to an athlete. To do what we need to do for Christ, we need to have discipline in our life. Discipline that's practiced by a man committed to striving for the masteries. Now, that phrase, strive for the masteries, comes from a Greek word that's the base of our English word, athlete. Okay? So an athlete strives to win. He strives in a competitive game for a prize, for the crown. But he can't win, he can't triumph, unless he strives lawfully. In other words, he's got to compete according to the rules. I've told you before, I used to love to play Monopoly with my cousin. In fact, we would get together every Saturday morning and we would spend the first couple hours playing Monopoly. And I'm not bragging, but most of the time I won. Just the facts. I'm not bragging, just the facts. And so she got to the point where she tried to change the rules. I mean, I said, Glenda, we can't play this game if we don't have rules. I mean, if you keep changing the rules, the game's not going to mean anything. And so that's what Paul was saying. Hey, if you're going to do what God has called you to do, if you're going to live that disciplined life, you've got to play this game. And again, I don't mean to demean what we're about as Christians by calling it a game, but Paul said you got to live this Christian life by the rules. You got to listen to what God has said. Christian service. Let me back up for a second. We need to know the rules. We need to know the truth. Because Christian service is not just based on how we feel, it's based on what we know about Christ. And so we need to know who he is. Need to know what this book says. We need to know how this book applies to our life. And then we need to have the discipline to apply it to our life. See, I believe that most Christians know how God wants us to live. The problem is we don't discipline ourselves to live that way. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Hey, if you're gonna last in Christian service, you gotta live by the rules. You gotta discipline yourself to live the way that God tells us to live. The third picture, and I gotta hurry because I'm running out of time. Third picture, he talks about a husbandman, a hardworking, persistent farmer. Whose dedicated efforts in sowing and hoeing and reaping pays off. And so he's the first partaker of the fruits. He's the first partaker of the harvest. The farmer ought to be the first one that gets his share of the crops. And Timothy is being reminded by Paul that look, if you stay faithful to what God has called us to do, there's blessings that come as a result of that. God's gonna bless you. And then he says in verse 7, he says, now look, I want you to consider what I say. Maybe you don't understand everything I'm saying. And again, Paul was in prison. He tells Timothy later on to come and visit him, but we don't know if Timothy made it before Paul was executed or not. He said, yeah, bring the parchment, bring the cloaks that I left there. But he says, Timothy, if there's something that you don't understand, and again, I'm not there to explain it to you. I don't know if I'm ever going to get the opportunity to talk to you personally about what I've written. But if you don't understand something that I've said, I want you to consider it. I don't want you to just dismiss it. I want you to think about it. I want you to think it over. Because if you're going to decide to be a soldier who's willing to suffer, if you're going to have the discipline of an athlete and live according to the rules, and if you're going to work persistently like a farmer to grow the crop, then you're going to need to understand what I'm telling you. And if you'll spend the time thinking about it, he says, and the Lord give thee understanding of all things. If you'll open your mind to the Lord, if you'll open your mind to the Holy Spirit, he'll bring it all together for you. In fact, that word understanding in that phrase, and the Lord give thee understanding of all things, comes from a Greek word that means to flow together. And so Paul says, if you don't understand what I'm saying, just don't not pay any attention to it. Think it over. Think on it. And let the Lord bring it together so that you'll have understanding of all these things. All right, then let's quickly look at verses 8 through 10. We've talked about share the message. Don't get discouraged. Now, this part of the lesson says you stay focused on the message of Christ. Remember, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Paul says, I want you to remember Jesus Christ. I want you to remember two things. He was of the seed of David. He's the promised Messiah. All the promises that God made to David, that one day somebody will sit on his throne and rule forever, are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. One day will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So I want you to remember, Timothy, he's the Messiah. He says, the second thing I want you to remember is that he rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He has the power and will give us the power to do that same thing. So Paul says, wherein, in that gospel that I've preached, I suffer trouble. Because I've preached that gospel, I've suffered trouble as an evildoer, as a criminal. I'm being treated as a criminal, even unto bonds. So again, he was in a Roman prison, probably chained, as they often did. He says, so I've bound. I've been bound. Timothy, one day perhaps you'll be bound. But he says, I want you to know something. The word of God will never be bound. Boy, we ought to be able to get excited about this. The world may bind the messenger, but the world will never bind the word of God. Never. Never. And so Paul says, therefore, because the word of God cannot be bound, I endure all things. And what Paul was saying is, hey, whatever it takes, I'm willing to endure it. Whatever affliction comes my way, whatever persecution comes my way, I endure all things, he says, for the elect's sake. Now, he's not just saying for the elect for Christian's sake. Paul's talking about the election that God has made that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. God has elected every person for salvation. Okay? I mean, in the vote for man's souls, Satan casts a vote and God casts a vote. And God's vote is that every person be saved. Again, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so Paul says, for the elect's sake. And again, Paul knew that everybody wasn't going to receive Christ. He wasn't saying that everybody's going to be a Christian. But what he was saying is, God wants everybody to be a Christian. Therefore, I'll suffer whatever I need to suffer so that they can obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. I'll suffer whatever I need to suffer. I'll endure whatever I need to endure so that they can hear the gospel. Those people, which includes everybody that God wants to be saved, so that those people can have the same thing that we do. The salvation that's in Christ Jesus. Salvation is in no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That salvation one day will take us to heaven to dwell in the presence of God for eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And so Paul says, whatever it takes, I'm going to share the gospel. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to remember Christ and stay focused on him. And Timothy, that's exactly what you need to do. Exactly what you need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this encouragement that comes from this one who stood faithfully for you, that stood faithfully for you until he was put to death for preaching the gospel. And I pray that we would heed the instructions that he gave to his young friend, this young pastor, that we'd heed the instructions today, that we would be a good soldier, that we would have the discipline of an athlete, that we would have the persistence of a farmer, that we would endure whatever we have to endure to share the gospel with other people. Help us to do that, Lord. Again, thank you for the time we've been able to spend in your word. I pray now you'll go with us to the service that follows. Be in every part of the service. Help us to uplift our Savior. We claim the promise this morning that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. And so we claim that promise in your name this morning, dear Lord, and ask you to do that. Just bless the service that follows. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.